Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, and those studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning edition of our broadcast. And we'll welcome each and every one of you, wherever you may be tuning in and listening to the broadcast today. Thanks for being with us. Hope you'll stay with us for the next hour. We will get things started here in just a couple of moments with a devotional message today from Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. And we'll be talking about, well, those crumbs that fell from the Master's table. And again, these were the words spoken to the Syrophoenician woman. And what did they mean? And of course, we are talking about all week long here in the Grace Hour, the little things that can make such a big difference in our lives. And those crumbs that Jesus said would fall from the Master's table, well, they were more than sufficient for what her needs were. And we'll take a look at that portion of Scripture in just a couple of moments. And remind you, of course, that following today's devotional message, we'll open the phone lines. We'll give you, our listeners, an opportunity to join us, weigh in, share your thoughts live on the Grace Hour. The Grace Hour affords its listeners the opportunity to participate in the broadcast with your comments, questions, your testimonies, counseling needs, and your prayer requests. And we hope to hear from many of you. It's quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us on our live broadcast. The toll-free number in all of North America, that is 800-338-7060. And the local number here in the Baltimore area, where our broadcast emanates from, 410-483-3700. We'd like to welcome everyone listening live on the Grace Hour. GraceHour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and of course our broadcast is live, and the podcast can be heard on the following platforms: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher, and more. And we hope that many of you are tuning in today and will stay with us for the devotional message, and then as we invite our listeners to join us, weigh in, share your thoughts with us, maybe a question you have that we could help to answer on our broadcast today. Wherever you may be listening to the Grace Hour, pick up that phone and join us live, whether it be the continental United States, north of us in Canada, or the other side of the world. We look forward to having you join us on the Tuesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And as I mentioned earlier, today's message, Matthew chapter 15, the crumbs that fell from the Master's table. And joining us live in the studio to share that message with us, Pastor Tom Sliva. Pastor, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, I tuned in, I think, yesterday, and you read the passage. You're not going to do that today, but
if you'd like, I could do that.
Well, yeah, okay, whatever, however it works. Whatever works best, Pastor Love, I can read it.
Okay, well, I'm going to read, beginning Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, and there we read that Jesus went thence, departed into the coasts of Tyre, Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, It's not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread, to cast it to the dogs. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the Master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Beautiful. Yes, it's one of those awesome passages. And just going to go through it a little bit and mention a few things. So Jesus went away and he withdrew it says in another version, he was withdrawing from the crowds and frankly had had an encounter with the Pharisees earlier in the chapter. And so he's visiting the district of Tyre and Sidon, which were heathen cities. Most likely he wasn't in the center of any of those cities. King James uses the word coast. A better word is district. He was in the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon, perhaps. And then in verse 22, the Canaanite woman from that region, or she was frankly Syrophoenician, which is more descriptive, but coming from the original people who lived in that land, the Canaanites. This was this area was still a part of Israel and had been given to the tribe of Asher, was hardly settled, hardly rid of the heathens that were still dwelling in that region. But she also came out. It says she came out from that region. So this was probably somewhere on the way to these cities, in the district of these cities. But here's this lady who perhaps and very possibly lived in a kind of a mixed neighborhood with Jewish people and heathen people as well. So here's our lady, though. She's coming out and distinctly is not part of Israel. So, and she says this as when she sees Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." And that had to perk up Jesus' ear, I'm sure, because that was a phrase that was not often. He didn't often hear that particular phrase. She probably got it from some of her Jewish friends. She probably learned that phrase in her neighborhood, maybe. But she was living perhaps amongst a mixed population of Jews and Gentiles. She probably had heard the title applied to Jesus. And she most likely knew something of the hopes of the Hebrew nation as they were expecting a Messiah. And son of the great King David, she probably knew about that. And that he would preach to the poor and heal the sick, as she had heard that Jesus had done. So she had heard, let's say this, of Jesus' reputation. His reputation had spread far and wide. And this is probably how she knew something about him. But moving on here, she said this, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And we must say this also just isagogically. Most likely that was not really something, the idea of a person being influenced by a demon was probably not part of Syrophoenician practice, as they were heathen. They were worshipers of false gods in a huge way, as a matter of fact. Baal worship, Ashtoreth worship was going on in the cities, and probably the idea of demon oppression or even possession was not a concept that she would have gotten from her heritage, but most likely got it from Hebrew neighbors. And by the way, this whole concept of demon possession or obsession was part of the nation of Israel. Of course, we understand a lot more about it now since Jesus came. But it was a part of their culture as well. So anyhow, so she's asking and she's perceiving that her daughter is oppressed by a demon. She's asking for mercy for herself, mercy for her daughter. Actually, she's asking that the Lord would have compassion. Would you have compassion on my family? But then verse 23 is very interesting because Jesus, it says that he did not answer her a word. He did not answer her a word. Jesus said nothing to her. Almost ignored her. Almost didn't pay any attention or made like he didn't even hear her. And the disciples came and they begged him, saying, send her away. Now, this is a little misleading because what I think they were saying, and scholars bring this out and the original language brings it out as well, they were really saying, will you relieve her already? Will you free her? Will you release her? Their motivation wasn't perfectly correct, however, but in a sense, they were saying, Jesus, why don't you just do what she's asking so she can get out of here, man? Because she's driving us nuts. That's really what. So she's, yeah, for she's crying out after us, or she's screaming. She's making a big fuss. The word is croaking. She's making a croaking noise. She's calling us. She's shrieking, crying. They were more annoyed than anything else. So they were asking Jesus, can you just heal her or appease her somehow, and then she'll be out of here. So, in one sense, they were thinking about themselves, but they were kind of making appeal for her, for the woman, you know, that Jesus would have compassion on her. But he says this then in verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he's not really saying it to the ladies. He's still talking to his disciples here. He says, but of course he said it loud enough. She heard that, you know. I'm sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which was actually true. Because it was not yet the time for the time when the Gentiles would be included. That was not yet. Israel was still the focus of Christ's coming, and also what Israel would do with him was still pending. So in verse 25, it says, but she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. So she's kind of on the outside. Jesus is not really paying attention to her. He's speaking loudly, obviously knows she's there. But then she comes over and gets right in front of him. She says, Lord, help me. One thing we could say about this whole passage, it's teaching something about prayer. Maybe we could say the fact that she wasn't getting much response could have sent her away very easily, but she instead did better. She improved her prayer. She stayed with it. She was persevering, let's put it that way. Instead of blaming Christ, instead of saying, wow, how unkind is this man? She seems rather to think, well, maybe I have a problem. Maybe it's a problem the way I'm approaching him, which is quite a thing, you know. So anyhow, moving on here, and then Jesus answered, he's speaking to her now, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wow. what a response. Well, Jesus is saying, rightfully so, you know, and we might say it's amazing how this goes, because at this particular time, amongst the Jewish people, especially amongst the leadership, the Gentiles were considered dogs. You know, that whole thing shifted. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, later on, the Judaizers were described as dogs afterwards, after the time when Christ was here and came and died and resurrected and was ascended into heaven. And so, but we have to say this. This is a reference to Jesus is actually using the word puppy dog here. I don't want to take away from the severity of it, but that word was, you know, that's what he used, a little dog. I think we're talking about little things this week. That's a little dog. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Scholars say there was really no evidence that the people in Israel kept dogs as pets, but dogs probably ran through neighborhoods, maybe in little packs. You know, when I was a kid, I used to deliver papers in the morning, and there was dogs, whole troop of dogs followed me around. You know, it's funny, they just were the neighborhood dogs. You know, I'm thinking maybe this is what it is, what he's talking about here. But she's on it. She's listening very intently. And she comes back and says, okay, she uses the same word. She says, yes, Lord. Yet even those puppy dogs eat the, and she uses, it's not just crumbs, it's little. She said, yes, Lord, even the puppy dogs eat the little crumbs that fall from the master's table, from the, you know, those who are the superiors. It's very interesting because I just noticed this now. She's not really referring to the master throwing a crumb to the dog. What she's basically saying is they're under there, they're waiting if something might drop. if while eating, something may fall, something might drop down. And I think she's saying that's her appeal. Her appeal is that maybe some crumbs will drop. If I get into your presence, Lord, maybe some crumbs will drop on me. And I would totally understand if you would completely reject my request, but I'm here and I'm going to stay, and I'm believing that crumbs from you, you know, in using the metaphor here, would fall to me. She's saying, I am not a daughter of Abraham. I'm looking, and this is, I think, one of the things that I think is the most important. I'll finish here. She's just looking for mercies. She's looking for grace. She's appealing as a person totally undeserving, and she realizes it. And she's, you know, she's, in one commentary said, I'm only looking for the portion which falls to the lot of the creatures which hold the lowest place in the household, and the loss of which will never be felt. Jesus, in humbling her, was teaching her. She couldn't appeal to Jesus on any worth that she had, any status, any class distinction, any credit card, any way in. She had no card to open the door with, no special identity. No, she was realizing, I am completely unworthy, and I'm appealing to your mercy and grace. And Jesus comes back and says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So, the lesson, what is the lesson? There's something in the heart of Jesus. And indeed, we know this now because we have the whole New Testament of the Bible. But the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace would be the dispensation that would follow Christ, and we're still in that dispensation now, the grace of God. So, anyhow, I'm sure we'll be talking more about it, but it's just for the sake of giving my 2 cents here.
Well, 2 cents fits right into our theme.
2 cents.
It's just the little things.
Little bits.
Yeah, but it can certainly make such a difference as we hear this message from Matthew chapter 15 and some of the great thoughts that you have brought out, Pastor. I find it amazing that when Jesus said what he said to his disciples, but as you pointed out, no doubt she heard it. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, my attitude towards the Gentiles is very typical of the Jewish attitude towards the Gentiles. And the attitude of the Jewish people towards the Gentiles basically was shut them out. Mm. Just shut them out. Mm. And we know that the heart of Jesus said, let them in. He came to build bridges. You know, prior to that, his nation, Israel, were building walls. Mm. But he came to take down the walls and to build bridges to them instead. And, you know, how easy it would have been for her to have been offended. Mm. You know, you brought out that his reputation had preceded him. She had probably heard, as so many had, about Jesus, his kindness, his compassion, his love, his ability to heal. She no doubt had heard it all. And how easy it would have been for her to come to him with this great need that she had for her daughter, and to hear that, and then to just walk away, and people that knew she was going to try to reach out to Jesus, to have them say, well, did you get to him? Yes. Did you speak to him? Yes. Did you tell him about your daughter? I did. And what did he say? Hmm. He said, he didn't come for people like my daughter.
Huh.
He didn't come for people like me. And he only came for the children. And I was so deeply offended. I was so deeply wounded. I never want to hear the name Jesus again. But that was not her attitude. Hmm. On the contrary, she took this attitude that said, you know what? You're right. I am a Gentile dog. My daughter is a Gentile dog. But I know this. The dogs will eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table, and the crumbs will be enough. The crumbs will be enough. And, well, just such a great message in those words. And again, she asked for compassion and mercy. I think anyone who comes to Jesus and has this simple prayer that she had in verse 25, help me, they will always be heard.
Yeah.
Whether it's this woman, blind Bartimaeus, the 10 lepers, the father of the boy whose son was vexed with a demon, Matthew 17:15. Jairus, whose daughter was sick to the point of death and indeed did die. The woman who touched the hem of his garment. And you and I, whoever you are, when you cry out to him and you ask for help, he hears.
Yeah.
And he makes a difference. It's a powerful story that just illustrates, again, the great compassion, the mercy. And I love that you brought out the fact that, you know, the law came by Moses. And again, all of the Israelites were familiar with the law, whether they kept it or not. It's another story.
Yeah.
But they knew it.
Yeah.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Friends, if you're listening today, and your cry is, help me, like the Syrophoenician woman, he hears you. Pastor Tom, perhaps we had that same cry. I know I did as a young person many years ago. I just needed help, and I didn't know where to turn, and every road I had gone down was a dead end. And when I turned to him and cried out for help, I got more than help. I got salvation, forgiveness, acceptance, love, grace, mercy.
Yeah.
We always get so much more than we deserve from him.
Amazing. It is amazing. Yeah. The amazing thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's what drew me to Christ. I don't even know how I got saved, to be honest with you, Pastor. Crumbs were falling one day from somebody's table, and I just happened to be there. I truly responded like it was. I didn't even, you know, the amazing thing, I didn't even know how bad I was. I didn't even know my emptiness. You know, we're so good at covering things up. We're hiding. We're positive, and you know, we're trying to toe the line of life. You know, as a young person, I didn't even know how bad I was until I realized it. And all I can say is thank God for the crumbs that were falling from the table. They're enough. They were enough for me.
The crumbs are enough. It's so true. But, you know, that statement you made, there's something in the heart of Jesus. What is it? Grace and truth. And even if we just get the crumbs of grace, the crumbs of truth, it's enough to transform our lives. Well, friends, you're listening live to the Grace Hour. That's the devotional portion of our broadcast today. And we're going to open the phone lines right now and give you an opportunity to join us. Here are the numbers. Pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us live on the broadcast with your comments, questions, your testimonies, counseling needs. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. We'd love to hear from those of you in all of North America. And right here in the greater Baltimore area, you can join us live at 410-483-3700. Perhaps for some of you, like those of us here in the studio today, the crumbs were enough, and actually more than enough, because his grace is always sufficient, never insufficient, always sufficient for our lives. And all it takes is the sincere cry from the heart and those two words, help me. I mean, you just sense, even as the story unfolds in Matthew's gospel, that she was not going to be sent away without receiving something from Jesus.
Because
we don't read anywhere in the Bible when someone sincerely approaches Jesus with those words, that request, help me. Now, if there are ulterior motives in their hearts, like the rich young ruler, you know, he wanted to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life.
Yes.
But that's not the same cry as, I'm desperate, I have nowhere to turn, I cannot trust my own heart, my own efforts, help me. I think that had he cried that, Jesus could have made all the difference in his life. But he was self-sufficient. He believed he kept the laws of God, but yet he sensed he was lacking something.
Yeah.
But perhaps in his heart, he thought, whatever I'm lacking, I will be able to meet that need. I just want to talk to Jesus about it. Big difference between his heart and the heart of this woman that said, I have nowhere else to go. I have no one else to turn to. Help me.
Yeah. 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 You know, I was thinking about it, and when I was reading this, it's not unprecedented in the Bible where it seems like, it seems like there's some probing, like Jesus is doing some probing here to find out the heart of this lady, perhaps. There's no mistake that he says, great is your faith, you know. I think faith and grace, I mean, okay, let's use the verse, Ephesians 5:2. By faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand. I think faith is birthed in weakness. Faith is birthed in weakness. And she was at a very weak place, this lady. You know, I was thinking about Jacob in Genesis 32, who had spent 21 years with his uncle Laban, and he was getting out of town at this time, and frankly, he was beat up. And he had come to the end of wondering, like, is there really a God? Is God ever going to help me? What's going to happen? And if you remember the story in Genesis 32, he wrestled with an angel. That's when he wrestled with the angel. But do you remember what he said also, which reminded me of this lady? He said, I'm not leaving until you bless me. You know, he insisted in that as he's wrestling, he says, I'm not leaving until you bless me. I think that was the heart of this Syrophoenician woman. She's saying, I'm not leaving. No. I'm not leaving you. You're gonna bless me. I mean, just like you said, I don't have any. Nothing else is going on. I'm desperate. I desperately need a blessing in my life, and I think at a very low place in Jacob's life, you know, he got a new name. You know, actually, yeah. At that time, he got a whole bunch of stuff. And it turned for him. His whole thing turned. So, anyhow, I just thought of that one. There's other ones too. I was thinking of, but anyhow, you know,
it's such a great way to approach God.
Yeah,
saying, you know, I'm not going to come away empty-handed.
Right.
He's got something for me. I think that's a great way to approach God. It's a great way to approach going to church. It's a great expectation that each of us should have in our hearts. Yep. Whenever we come to God. He's got something for me. I know he does. He's a good, gracious, and giving God. And I believe that he's going to impart something to me. Let's go to our callers. Let's begin up in Boston with Susan, who's joining us live in the Grace Hour. Susan, thanks for holding on. Go right ahead.
It's George.
Oh, sorry about that. Susan, we'll get to you in a moment. George, we'll take you first.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Pastor Sleeper, for what you shared, you know. And I also loved when you brought up that you were a paperboy. So was I.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. YouTube, was it morning route for you too, Pastor Love?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. We're all morning route guys. Yeah. I remember those days. And the dogs. Yeah. I had the dogs, too.
That's funny.
Yeah. But, you know, what you were sharing is really beautiful, Pastor Sleeva, and I want to thank you for that devotional. And you know, God wants us to say, help me, Lord, please help me. He loves that when we come to him and say, help me. I mean, his arms just open up wide, you know, and he just wants to love us and meet us right where we're at and provide, you know. It's like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, and trust in the Lord in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, you know. And it's like, but it's like he just wants to love us and meet us right where we're at, and we should always, always go to God. You know, I remember the old song we used to sing, Lord, it's me again. We're in trouble, you know, and like, it's so true, you know.
Well, and George, let me ask you a question. What would keep us from coming to him and asking for that help or seeking for that grace? What would keep us from asking?
Pride.
Yeah.
Pride. Yeah.
Pride. How about guilt?
Yeah. Guilt.
Shame.
Shame. Yeah. Yeah.
Unworthiness.
Yeah. 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 And we treat, in that type of situation, what we're doing, we are treating God like our own humanity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he is on the same, like he's not really above all those things. Like, it's like, you know, he doesn't understand that, you know, we failed or we did this or we did that. And the enemy is projecting at us guilt. That's why we have to guard our hearts and cast down all vain imaginations, because the enemy is going to come on us. He's going to come at us with all projections all the time. You know, that God, oh, you've done it now. This is the unforgivable sin, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it took me years to think that I hadn't committed the unforgivable sin. And we all know that the unforgivable sin is not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Unbelief, right. Yeah. I know. That's a great point that you brought out, because we forget that God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts.
Yeah.
Neither are your ways anything like my ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And again, I think that's so true. We sometimes feel as though when we approach God, we think he's a lot like we are, but he reminds us, no, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts.
Yeah.
Amen. And another thing, Pastor, is what we tend to do, too, is the past is buried in the deepest, deepest sea. There is nothing, and regret is a dead end. There is nothing we can do to change our past. It's gone. It's, you know, it was finished at the cross. And a lot of times we will let something that we did 10 years ago come back and haunt us or something. You know, I did that. That was stupid. If I hadn't done that, come on. His mercies are new every morning.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we should leave the past in the past.
Amen.
Yeah. Put it in the rearview mirror and don't keep looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
George, thanks for your comments. We appreciate them.
Love you.
God bless you. Susan, we apologize. We wanted to take your call. We lost you. If you're still listening, pick up that phone and give us a call right back. We'd love to have you join us on the broadcast this morning. In the meantime, for those of you that continue to listen to the broadcast, you'd like to join us, now's the time to fill up those phone lines, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. Locally, 410-483-3700. I want to go back to a point in this story, Pastor Tom, and just ask this question, because I think it's important for our listeners to understand this and to know the answer. Because you hear this brought up from time to time by believers. Is it possible for a believer today to be possessed by the devil?
No. No.
Amen.
It's not. No, demon possession, actually, which you know, which is real. Even the Jewish people believed it could be real, but it's not possible. Simply because the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, and the two cannot coexist.
Mm. Yeah. It's a simple answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Demons can bring obsession into the lives of believers. They can trouble believers. I mean, case in point, God allowed that in the case of Job.
Yeah.
When Jesus spoke to Peter, he said that Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, and I have given him permission.
Yeah.
Those are instances where God gives permission for the devil to go after his children. But again, we should always remember that even as the devil does that, he's on a leash.
Yeah.
And we take comfort in the fact of the one who is on the other end of that leash, which is God himself.
Yes. Yeah. I think the book of Job is a very good illustration of what you just said. I mean, because we are privy to the meeting that God had with Satan at the beginning of that book. Here you have certain permissions, but you can't take his life.
That's right.
You know, initially he even said, I think he even said, I'm trying to think how it went, but don't touch his body. He wasn't even allowed to touch his body. I think I can't remember how it goes, but there was restrictions, and the whole book of Job is really teaching a lot about the restrictions and the hedges that are around a believer. You know, we have a hedge around us. Nothing can get through that hedge unless God allows it, like you're saying. So that's one of the things I agree with you on that.
Amen.
Totally.
Amen. Well, let's go back to the phones. And while we take Susan's call up in the Boston area, we want to remind you this is a good time for you to give us a call. So go to your phones immediately and fill up those lines. Susan, thanks for getting back to us. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Love, Pastor Tom.
Hi.
Excuse me. Pastor Love, as you were reading the scriptures in the beginning, and the verse that says to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs, all these years, as you were reading it, it dawned on me the children's bread was the bread meant for the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and not for anyone else at that point. And correct me if I'm wrong. And then he answered her and said, great is your faith. And as he was talking to the disciples, I was thinking that would this have been like a lesson for them to realize that the bread was for Israel, but this woman without the bread had greater faith than she was getting it in her heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going to Jesus for this, for her daughter, for her prayer. And he was kind of trying to say to the disciples, you know, this is the point I'm trying to get at. The bread is for the Israelites and for you guys, but this woman has great faith, and she has none of that in her life right now. But she was putting it forth, despite the fact that she had nothing to go on, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. He was really laying the groundwork, if you will. And the groundwork was, we read the seed teachings of the grace of God in the Gospels, but then they come to light in a much more complete and full way in the epistles, the Pauline epistles, and of course in the Johannian epistles, Peter's epistles as well. But make no mistake about it, the plan and the purpose of God was that all men would be saved. Jews, certainly. We know this because we read this so often in the scriptures, that the gospel was to the Jew first, but mm-hmm. then also to be extended, that is the offer of salvation, to the Gentiles as well. So Jesus came. Listen to this. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. And he said that these words, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, that's the Jewish people, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Okay? That is God's way of saying, I'm keeping my covenant relationship with Israel, and I'm here to confirm that and to confirm those promises. But then verse 9 says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So mm-hmm. we see in the coming of Christ, in his first advent, that he is going to accomplish a salvation not just for the Jewish nation, although that was first and foremost in his plan and purpose, but also to extend that offer of salvation to the Gentiles. And I think that, as you pointed out, Susan, he was teaching his disciples this invaluable lesson that, you know, I know that you are stuck on the fact that you've got to keep the Gentiles out, but I'm mm-hmm. going to tell you a new message. I want you to let them in.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm glad that I called and got that kind of clarified in my own head.
Amen. Heart. Thanks so much for the call.
God bless you both. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. We got a note from one of our listeners on the chat line. If we could just kind of scroll down a little bit. It was a prayer request for Henry. He's had swelling in his arm since surgery that took place in July. So we pray for wisdom for the doctors to know what's wrong and the wisdom to be able to treat it without any complications. His appointment is today. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Henry. Give the doctors that wisdom that they'll need to treat him. We pray that this would not happen without or with any further complications, but bring healing to him today. Lord, you still heal today, and you can. And we pray that you would in his case. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we also want to give you a little bit of a praise report for young Joshua, who's been in the hospital here actually for quite some time, Josh Goody, a number of weeks, 6 weeks, I believe. And we're getting good reports from his parents telling us that he's now able to take in fluids, and they're going to give him some softer foods today. Looks like the intestines are beginning to operate, work without any more surgery. That's our prayer, of course. And they're even talking about the possibility of him coming home this weekend. And that is great, great news. So continue to keep him and his family in your prayers. God is at work. Back to the phones. We'll take Jenny's call. And while we take Jenny's call, friends, we want to remind you, you can join us at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Jenny, thanks for holding on. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning, Pastor Love.
Good morning.
Hi, Jenny.
All right. Pastor Sliva, that, number one, you have a very comforting portion in the body of Christ.
Wow.
It's just, I don't know, it's just who you are in him. You're loaded with doctrine, precise sound doctrine, but you have a very comforting portion. And today was no exception.
Thank you.
So thank you for that. But, you know, I was thinking there's something in us that just rejoices when we hear about or read about Jesus's compassion, his mercy on people that were just so desperate. I mean, we love him and we marvel at his works, you know, towards the strong as well as to the weak. But these three passages in scriptures, I was thinking about the one you mentioned, and I didn't hear the beginning of the broadcast, but I found it in Mark 7, the woman with the demon-possessed daughter. Mm-hmm. So here she was, a desperate person. And then Jacob, who was wrestling with the angel, with the Lord. And then the third instance I was thinking of was the woman with the issue of blood. And all three of these people were so weak. They were so desperate. You know, the fact that this woman, she touched the hem, the fringe. She said, if I could only touch his garment. And I think it says in, I don't have it right in front of me now, but if I could only touch the hem of his garment. And I thought, she was so desperate. She didn't even want to see his eyes necessarily. She didn't have to see his face. She didn't have to touch his body. It was just the hem of his garment. And I was thinking about how our weakness is our advantage. That when we are so desperate for his touch, we actually, it doesn't even have to be a church service or a counseling session. It could be just a fellowship. We're so desperate that we are we are waiting for something from just him. Like, it could be a word from a fellow body member. It could be a rap session. It could be grace hour. It could be reading a daily devotional. And bingo, bullseye, we have touched the hem of his garment. And in Jacob's case, he was not just wrestling with the angel of the Lord, but it got to the point where the angel of the Lord himself, put his thigh out of joint. So he was like, he was so weak in his own human strength that he had the guts to say, listen, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I have no other recourse. The woman who touched the hem of his garment had no other recourse. And the woman you spoke about, she had no other recourse. So they were so bold with their tiny little grain of mustard seed faith. They didn't care what anybody said. They weren't going to accept, no, I'm not letting go until you bless me. And I thought, you know, I think Pastor Love, you mentioned, or maybe it was George, the only thing that would keep us from receiving such blessing from the Lord is either pride, like, oh, you know what? I really don't need the Lord to do this. I think I can do this. I don't want to bother him. Pride, or else we're just not weak enough. So the way I translate that is when I am so weak and it seems like I'm a little Job, in my case, a Jobette, one thing after another comes and I'm thinking, yikes, what am I to do? I should rejoice. I should rejoice that I am in a position where I'm not letting go, Lord. The doctors aren't, it's not working with the doctors. It's not, doesn't seem to be working with prayer. So I am going to hold on to you until you release me into the joy of the Lord, which will be my strength. And then it will matter, even matter if you heal me. I'll be content with your strength. Mm. So anyway, I went on and on, but I am learning to embrace weakness.
Amen.
Not as an enemy, but as an opportunity.
That's beautiful. We'll remember that statement, our weakness is really our advantage.
Amen.
Jenny, thank you.
I love you guys so much. And I love the word that comes from your hearts through your mouth. And I just thank you so much for these years and years and years of giving us these rich meals.
Amen. Thank you for your kindness.
God bless you, Jenny.
Bye.
Amen. Well, I agree with Jenny. Pastor Tom, your portion is very, very comforting. Every time I look at the schedule here at the Grace Hour and see your name on it, I say, oh, that's going to be a great broadcast.
Oh, wow. Thank you for saying that.
Well, it's the truth.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Friends, we've received a couple more of our comments. Just scroll down for a moment. I want to read what Carol wrote. Yeah, great thought. She says, I'm thinking of the Lord's extraordinary treatment of women. He opposed the religious chauvinism and discrimination in his times. You have the widow of Nain, the woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman caught in the act of adultery. When you contrast this with the teaching of the rabbis of his day, Christ's mercy and compassion always comes through. Beautiful thoughts, Carol. Thank you. And Nestor has written to us, says, good morning. Please pray for my granddaughter, Allison. She started her chemotherapy today and will undergo 31 weeks of chemotherapy and radiation treatments. Please pray for her parents, for strength and comfort. Father, we pray for young Allison. And we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her body. I can't even imagine 31 weeks of chemotherapy, radiation treatments. We often hear that sometimes the treatment for cancer is worse than the cancer itself, but we pray that that would not be the case with young Allison, but that you would strengthen her body so that she can receive these treatments and healing would supernaturally take place, rid her of every single solitary cell of cancer, and do it to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Tom, we're getting ready to wrap up today's Grace Hour broadcast. Any final thoughts before we put a bow on it?
Yeah. What do we get, a couple of minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about what Jenny said, and also I'm not sure where that question came from that's up there, but somebody was asking, how do we go about attaining a better understanding of how God sees us as a result of our salvation? And to go along with what Jenny was saying, and also what we're saying today, I think God has to do it. You know, I think we can avail ourselves to the Word of God. Of course, absolutely, that's our part. God, it says in Psalm 102, I think around verse 23, that God is weakening. He weakened them in the way. God is weakening. And as Jenny was saying, there's such a thing of embracing our weakness. Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 12, cried out to God for help. God said, no, I'm not going to take them thorns away. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul said, though, okay, and I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just from remembrance, I believe Paul says, well, okay, then I would rather glory in my infirmities, because then the power of Christ can rest upon me. And he agrees with God and says, when I am weak, then I am strong. I was reading this. I don't know if I have time for it. Luke 17, but I'll say it real quickly. The apostles are saying, increase our faith. And I believe this is connected, and Jesus gives this little parable, Luke 17:7. And he says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Oh, no, he doesn't. I'm sorry, the show's over. But he says this, and I think this is great. Say this, we are unprofitable servants. We have done which was our duty to do. This is where God is taking us to that weak place, but faith is great in that place, and also grace is at the peak. Our strength is made perfect in weakness. And so thank you. That's the end of it.
Amen.
We're out of time.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. We'll be back tomorrow. We hope that you'll make plans to join us then.